Hello. Welcome to the second episode of Unpub Download. I'm Unpub's coordinator, Daryl Lauder, and with me in the car on the way back from Columbus Origins is famous designer, sorry for my voice, T.C. Petty III. Hey, T.C.
Hello, Daryl. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, T.C., how was your Origins?
I don't know, but I've been demoing games all weekend long, and right after I demo, seems I lost my voice a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you there. How many demos did you do? Because with Compounded, I did at least 20, I would guess. 20, a good 20.
Oh, well, at least 15, but I don't know. I don't keep count of them after we get past the first few. What a great weekend it was. I guess it's almost a full week.
Well, did you have any highlights of the con? Like, what is... Okay, I can't keep doing that. Alright, sorry. Now that everyone is universally cleared their throat...
Welcome.
Welcome, yes. Welcome to the car. We're back in the... we're in the Scion. So we're in my car. When first episode we did this, I was with Mike Mullins in his awesome Ford Escape Hybrid. Now we're in my little Scion XD. TC's driving. And so I'm holding the phone and doing the thing.
Yep, so wow, my voice sounds completely different.
I know, right?
Yeah. So we were at Unpub Unpub Origins.
2014. It should be called Unpub Origins.
I got in on Tuesday. We drove up, and now we're driving back on Monday the next week. But we were there from, the whole convention, doing demos in the Dice Hate Me booth. And after hours was Unpub time, and that was, I guess, some nights around, people got down a little bit early, but usually sometimes around, 8:30 or a little bit later, right outside the boardroom. I think the first night it was in the boardroom, but we kind of stopped that after.
Yeah.
But this year was weird, especially because of the boardroom.
Incredibly weird. I mean, overall, this Origins was great as in attendance wise and everything. Oh, yeah. It was much larger than the previous 2 years.
The lines on the lines on Saturday were big, but the lines on Sunday were crazy. I came down on Sunday, and it was just as crowded as Saturday. I've never seen that. That was craziness. Apparently, people were in the lines for, hours.
It kind of made me think that maybe Gamma needs to rethink a little bit. Cut Thursday. Cut Thursday show. Just have it Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Cram everything into those 3 days. It would save the vendors money. It would save attendees money, and the whole thing.
I think they're trying to get their most out of their money. I don't. I guess. Yeah. I guess basically, though, if you did cut Thursday, you could probably, you would get the most out of those 3 days.
Yeah.
It's just, but at the same time, maybe cut the exhibition hall for Thursday, and keep all the events. But man, it just isn't the same on Thursday as it is any other day.
No, it's not. Thursday is clearly the quieter of all the days.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah. But, I mean, I have quite a few bones to pick with Gamma. I mean, this Origins was a cluster fudge pack.
Well, yeah, but before we get into the problems with Gamma, but, I mean, Gamma is the one that, they're the guys that run behind the scenes of Origins.
They're the head of Origins.
Yeah, they do trade shows. They do the Gamma trade show as well. They do some other shows, but I think mainly Origins is their kind of big main convention. But before we get into that, I just at least there's some good things. I had...
Yeah, the art was good. The art was good.
I'm kidding.
That wasn't a knock at the artist. It was, never mind. Inside joke. Just laugh and say, I get a joke with TC, and you'll feel better about yourself.
That's so great, Daryl. Inside jokes are such good podcast material.
They're golden.
It's like me describing the things around, or not describing the things around me. Oh, look. Look at that car. Man, that's great.
That billboard that just says adult in giant letters.
That car in front of me is the best car ever. I'm I'm not going to describe it very well, but man, if you guys could see that, great.
I've heard that car has a pretty decent crash test rating, actually.
But yeah, so great podcast material. I actually enjoyed...
That was a rumble test strip. That's mandatory in these podcasts.
I guess the most fun I had in the last 2 years, I guess, this year. I mean, I really had a lot of fun. I made a promise to myself that I wouldn't get stuck with too many commitments, because I think years previous, it was fun to demo Viva Java the first year. It wasn't so much fun the next year, with less people showing up for the demos and not knowing exactly the demo times. And then this year, I didn't run any of them.
Well, the last 2 years, though, we were doing the demos, you and I, in person with the Grand Gaming Academy.
Exactly. And they're great.
They're awesome.
It's just, like, it's good to have the... I mean, you get more attendance when the designer shows up. And yours were, like, crazy last year. I mean, the previous year, I was doing the Viva Jabas, and they were kind of in the same... Like, you know, it's like running... It's tough to run, like, two games. Maybe even three. Or I think you had, like, four at once, and I was coming over to help.
Yep, I had four at once, and I was standing on a chair in between all four of them, just shouting.
But we didn't have that this year.
No.
Did you do any competitive demos this year?
yeah, I did. Really?
No.
It's like, seriously?
Outside of the booth.
No, I did not. I set up the expansion to do at the Unpub Gorilla. But, or Gorilla Pub, or Gorilla Unpub, whatever. I got hooked up with playing other people's games, and evidently that truck next to us is doing a podcast as well, because they just hit a rumble strip. but I just got hooked up with playing other people's games, and, you know, I have no complaints about that. It's, you know, that's kind of, when I do anything Unpub now, it's, you know, yeah, I have my own stuff that I'd like to play, but at the same time, I have more enjoyment playing other people's, or simply just sitting back watching everyone play everyone else's games and having a good time.
Yeah, and I guess with the setup that we had this year, it was nice.
Yeah.
And I guess the previous years too, it was tough because we had different people we were trying to please, different people we were trying to meet up with, and just it's tough at any convention to have a plan that lasts more than like 30 minutes. But so, you know, of course, anybody that I didn't get to hang out with, it's not that I didn't want to hang out with you, or people who I made plans with and then couldn't, or, you know, tentative plans. It's like, those are just going to be tentative because everything changes in the next 5 minutes, and you never know when something's going to take longer than what it needs to take.
Yeah.
So, outside of the demoing, so now that we've got, I think the attendance was great.
Yes.
The, aside from the lines, I didn't have any other problems outside of that. I mean, setting up was, for us, kind of a breeze.
So was takedown.
Takedown was easy. There wasn't crazy confusion whenever that was going on. We were kind of waiting around for something, but I don't think that was related to anything that Gamma was doing, right?
Yeah, no.
So, overall, I had a really good time. I would like... You're fine with talking about the backstory behind this, right?
I am. I'm okay with that.
Because right now, I mean, it's afterward, and this is... Before we get into it, right, we're frustrated, but at the same time, we would still like to work with Gamma to make this better.
Yes.
Before we get into this. But, there you go. So, Daryl, what's the backstory behind this whole Gamma issue?
The backstory behind the Gamma issue is we were initially trying to have Unpub officially at Gamma, or at Origins this year. They had a booth space that they were selling discounted for new entrepreneurs or upstart groups and organizations. And so Mike Mullins was trying to get in touch with Gamma, and he reached out and got a word back from somebody. And so he and this gentleman at Gamma were working on securing Unpub a booth. And it was like, oh, you know, hey, Daryl, we got a 10x10. I'm like, awesome, that'll work. That's, you know... couple tables during hall hours in the hall, and then we move to, you know, in Hall D where Open Gaming is for the night. Like, that's a grand plan.
Yeah, sounds good.
You know, Mike was going to come out and help run it, so I could still do the stuff at the Dice Hate Me booth. So everything would be split and everything would be run. It would be really nice. And then it was like, hey, Daryl, we got a 10 by 20. I'm like, oh, that's even better because now we have more tables in there. Oh, this is so sweet. And I had a sponsor lined up to get us, to have Unpub fully funded there, the whole nine. And, you know, I was really excited with, you know, Origins is finally going to welcome Unpub. Because in years past, we've had to do it guerrilla style where we bring a blue noodle, yeah, put it on a mic stand, put it on a table.
And last year wasn't ideal. I mean, you had... But the first year that John did it, which was 2 years ago, right? He just came in. He talked to someone at Gamma about the possibility of that, or working with the other people that were running a sort of prototype alley kind of
thing. Yeah.
And they pretty much just flat out said, "Eh, whatever."
Yep.
And didn't respond. So John went there with the blue noodle and just set up and. After hours in the open gaming room, we just did things. We just sat around and played games. And we had, you know, 30, 40 people sometimes just hanging out playing unpublished games. It was awesome. And they didn't have that anywhere else in the convention, so it was, like, a good thing.
Yeah, you know, that's where the birth of the Blue Noodle came.
Yeah.
Because John wanted to set something up that would be different and stand out. But that first year was publishers, designers, players, everything. Everyone gathered around that thing. Jumping forward back to this time. The 10x20, and, you know, so that was the plan, was we'd have a table space in the hall during the day, and then at night we'd move it over to Hall D, like we'd have a dinner break in between. And, you know, really excited about it. Then it was, Daryl, no booth. I'm like, what do you mean no booth? Well, I guess the guy that Mike was talking to got fired. I don't know if it was he got fired for talking with Unpub and trying to set up a deal. I doubt it as well.
Because apparently more than one person has been fired or left. I don't know if you said that. You heard fired?
I heard fired.
Okay. I mean, whatever. Multiple people, from what I've heard, have been helping people out for the Gamma trade shows and have been fired before. Or at least in this case, there was... I don't know if it's the same guy, but... Maybe
that's like his annual thing. He comes in and gets fired.
Yeah, it could be, but maybe that's the thing. Like, because I know Chris was talking to somebody who was let go, and another person on Twitter was talking to somebody that was let go from... while they were trying to get Origins preparations.
Yeah.
And it's kind of annoying, but it happens, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, to just be like... Well, he was working with you on that, but, thanks, bye.
Yeah, so Mike started talking with somebody else, this person was higher up within Gamma, I don't want to mention names, because I do know who it was, but I'm going to keep it generic. Anyway, but this person, wasn't willing to uphold the deal that was set up by the previous person, because that person got fired, and then wasn't willing to help negotiate us with anything else, pretty much telling us as rudely as possible that Unpub kind of wasn't welcome. Like, Unpub, the Origins was not the place for Unpub. But then we found out about a thing called the Unpub Premier Track, the Premier Track at Origins. I wanted it to be called the Unpub Premier Track, but I'll get to that. Well, so Mike was like, well, hey, how about if we run that? Like, we have a network, we have established, we can set up the schedule, we can get everyone to come in. You know, we'll just do our own thing. We don't charge people anything. We don't charge anything to be there. It's just, you know, our time, our devotion towards gaming, towards this whole hobby, that kind of drives us to do this.
Yeah, we could easily get volunteers to help wrangle some people or you know, do whatever they need to do.
I mean, we had people that were there that, you know, when we were telling them the story, they're like, I would have helped, and, you know, I knew it, like Eric Handler and them, like, he would have jumped right on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not a question. But, Unpub could not help run the Premier Track, nor take it over, because that would muddy the brand. That's what the excuse was.
That makes sense. I mean, we've all heard about premiertrack.com. The premier unpublished prototype thing. I mean, everybody does their premiere minis, right?
Yeah, and everyone knows that when you go to Origins, you go upstairs to the second floor in that far end of the hallway in that back cubby where there's six tables, and that's the premiere track. It's a big thing. It's a big draw.
Yeah, so out in the middle of nowhere, premiere track. And I wanted to check it out this year, actually, and I never got a chance. But we were in the booth the entire time, and then whenever after, we go to dinner, and then we go to Unpub, right?
Yeah.
So it was kind of just one thing after the next. I never really went up to check and see. From reports, though, you said pretty much anybody who was in there was kind of starved for people to play this.
From what I heard, I unfortunately didn't get time to go up there with everything, but I heard from three different people that when they walked by or walked inside there, it was either empty or it was just the designers sitting with their games, staring hungrily at the door, hoping playtesters were coming in. And
that's a normal design thing to do, though. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah. But, I mean, not when you're at a massive con. Like, yeah, when you're at Origins and you're, you know, working on this branding of your premiere track, you know, you would think that you would draw playtesters, you would advertise it in your own catalogs or in your schedule, something. But I didn't see that anywhere. And don't get me started on the website for Gamma. I mean, I know the Unpub website has issues, and, you know, I'm trying to work through them. But, I mean, it's just myself on the website. But it's still, it's like...
Well, I mean, this is probably a rant, but...
And then, to top it off, the first night, you know, we go into the boardroom, and the boardroom every single year has been 24-7. We know Cabs closed down at midnight, which, you know, that's the game library. That's totally cool.
Yeah, because you don't want to have... I mean, as long as you... Because you don't want to have the games out all night having somebody to, like, man that. I mean, that's totally cool because you miss the rest of Origins.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But, then, lo and behold, at 12:30, we're all kicked out. Fun! Yeah.
Well, okay, so, I mean, for people who have been to Origins before, or maybe missed this one, or don't know anything about Origins, the boardroom was set up in the previous years, and I don't know how long it's been there, but for the last 3 years that I've been there, it was set up in a little subsection of Hall D. Like, they open up a specific section that they're renting out, and they put people from the boardroom in there, and they have the boardroom, library, and everything, and it's always been in that spot. This year they had that, they pushed the miniatures section over there, so there's, like, miniature wargaming over there, which, debatably fine. I think Gamma maybe realizes that that is kind of a spectacle type thing, where people set up huge tables and take up a lot of space, and instead of having that right out front, which actually might actually be good. I like the little spectacle. I like looking through those things. I had to walk way away to find all the cool miniature gaming like setups, which I don't play miniature games, but still, it's cool.
Well, you see, I agree with you, and I also admire the artwork that someone took the time to paint these. Meticulous detail and LED lights and all, everything that they do to these things, it's mind-blowing, and it's, I don't have the time to ever get into that, but it's, I still like to admire other people's work. So,
yeah, so I had to go way out of my way to find this stuff, and I was like, I was surprised when I walked in. Whatever, that's the decision. But by taking that boardroom out of that area, that made it so that people playing board games had to leave the main area.
Yep.
And what's weird about it was that the boardroom was now not a room. It was part of the Hall D, where there was... this was pretty much like the miniature painting area from previous years.
Yep.
Was just the boardroom now.
Yeah.
So it was in a smaller space. It was attached to Open Gaming. And
they sold vending hall. Well, they sold vending space in Hall D this year. And therefore, they had to close it every single night as opposed to letting everyone just play.
Yeah, so we were kicked out early the one night, but then they let us stay until 2:30 for most of the rest of the nights, right? Which is debatably fine. We closed out the hall pretty much every single night, which is, I'm used to doing that in the boardroom, like 4 in the morning, being like one of the only two tables still going. And that's fine. I mean, but at the same time, it's the boardroom. And now, for me, I'm there for board games. I got the boardroom badge hoping, because the very first night we had Unpub Noodle set up right on the inside of the boardroom.
Yeah.
Which really didn't matter because I didn't have a ribbon at the time, but they weren't really checking anything.
Right.
After that, I'll tell an interesting story about the second night. Which
did you buy a ribbon?
I did.
Okay, yeah.
But I regret it.
Yeah, well, I bought one the next day, too, because I was worried that they were going to start checking and kicking us out, so I was like, oh, I'll buy it. They never once checked, because mine was tucked behind my back the entire
but
time.
I never set foot into the boardroom after that night.
That's true.
So I didn't even have to worry about it, because basically, when you're attached to the open gaming room, and it's just a curtain, and like a small curtain, protecting you, like protecting the boardroom from the open gaming, well, there was just these extra tables that were in there, so we were... When we set up Unpub, we set it up right outside of the boardroom.
Yep.
So anybody walking into the boardroom would see the people playing unpublished games.
Yeah, I mean, and we had a mass of people. We had at least 20 people every single night.
Oh, yeah, and I'm more like 40 at some points.
Yeah, but like I'm saying guaranteed 20 people, and that's, you know, that's not designers, that's games being played. Like, every game was pretty much played that was set up.
Yeah. And there was, with some exceptions, of course.
Of course.
That happens all the time. Yeah. You know, it's like you can't get every single game in. But you try your best to mingle and play each other's games and trade, like, playtest, right?
Yep.
But there wasn't just designers there. There was other people just hanging out. I mean, we had a bunch of our friends, but not only that, just people hanging out and playing some games and demoing games, too.
Yep.
And that was awesome. So... I guess, so the problem is, I didn't have to get a boardroom ribbon because I wasn't in the unpub area, which doesn't matter because I'm in the unpub area, I want to play the unpublished games, and that's not really what we wanted to have it so that it was in open gaming, so that you would be able to have playtesters without them worrying about having a boardroom button. And last year we had to do the boardroom because, it was kind of not ideal because we were in the boardroom, but some people couldn't get in. Some people, you know, so we lost a lot of the playtesters and the possibilities for designers. And that's really the point. It's not about whether or not we're relegated to the boardroom and we're board game designers. It's about getting people to playtest your games and really getting that game to the next level. And conventions are great for that. It's just... You got to give people the option, and that premiere track, like wherever it was, whatever it was doing, like you said, like if anybody was in the premiere track and can contact us and tell us about their experience, right? And maybe even contradict this, but it just
I've only heard from three people. I mean, it's, you know, it could have been bad times that they checked in. I'm not saying that, you know, oh, those three are definitely right. So, but please let us know your experience. What was right, if anything? What was wrong, if anything?
Yeah, and I heard that there was something going on that you had to pay for with the premiere track, but I don't think that was related to specifically setting up and everything. It was just if there was a demo time or something specifically. But
right.
But either way, like, unpublished setups, you don't have to pay. You demo your games, you play prototypes, and you get it in front of as many people as you possibly can, and hopefully other designers, and hopefully other playtesters, and just, in general, just have a good time doing that. Because I enjoy it, but... other people do. I play a lot more of other people's prototypes than my own, right? I mean, in most cases, we both do.
That's the way it should be.
Oh, of course, yeah. I think Gamma this year just, I mean, we really felt like we had an opportunity to kind of grow the hobby in that sense. Like, you could just do that and kind of just get that door shut right in our face.
Yeah.
And then now we had to do it kind of guerrilla style and just meet up.
Which, once again, worked, just like the very first year.
Yeah, it worked. So, I mean, I don't know why. We'll probably just do this again and just let people know. And if Gamma wants to work with us or whatever for the next year, then that's fine.
No, they're going
to
hear this now and go, oh, that's what they're doing. We will now ban any type of styrofoam noodles from standing on the top of the table.
Yeah.
I don't know why I gave Gamma a German accent.
No. Well, of course they do. They have the German accent.
Because, now give me my schedule.
That's,
oh man,
yeah. But I don't really think they're Nazis.
I never said Nazi. No way. That
nullifies your argument. Isn't that like the one the internet rule? Like, if you ever call someone or insinuate that they're a Nazi, that your
I
whole
said
argument is invalid.
My argument was invalidated when I said I have no idea why I gave them a German accent. And well, then when I said, give me my strudel. Come on.
Well,
For the record, Gemma's not a Nazi. Nowhere near. We are not saying that at all.
No, we would like to work with them. We would actually, this, the reason for this is because we would like to work with them. We have, like, so I'll tell you the story of the first night that I put up the noodles. So you guys were, I had to come back. Actually, someone on, I think it was Thursday night, after the first night, they said, hey, TC, do you guys have, like, brew crafters, right? Do you have brew crafters around? Is there any way that we could demo it? I was like, well, they got demo times in the hall D with the Grand Gaming Academy. And they're like, I tried. They've been sold out for, like, months. All the sessions. And I was like, well, I don't have the prototype. He's like, is there any way, like, we could set up a time after hours? So I was like, okay, I'll run a Brewcrafters demo at 9. Like, he was like, later today. And I was like, okay, how about 9? I'll give me a time after dinner. So I ran back, and honestly, that was close enough.
Yep.
It takes a long time to do dinner with groups of people, right?
It does?
It's like wrangling cats.
I think we had 12 people that night.
What, 12?
Thursday night?
Yeah, 12. So we were eating with like 12 people and all that. All that comes with that.
Dice Hate Me doesn't travel small.
Yeah, we have a posse. No, here's the thing, though. I will say, on the side note, when we travel with a posse, right, like, we're like, you can be part of the clique if you just want to come get something to eat. Like,
yes.
It's not like, if you're right around us whenever we go to eat, we're not going to, like, kick you out. Just, like, hang out and be cool, right? Like, that's all. So those people are not, like, necessarily, like, just 3 best, like, 12 best friends hanging out, and, like, anyone else kind of wants to come, we, like, kick them out. Like, no, it's like, we just, you know, we, like, hey, we're gonna get something to eat. Hey, can we come along? Hey, can we come along? Sure. It's just, it's hard whenever that stuff, like, I think some people get the impression that, like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I also want to lay down here real quick as another side to your side note, that, and just for clarification, that Unpub and Dice Hate Me are not the same entity.
They're not the
entity.
Same thing.
Dice Hate Me does not own any part of Unpub. The only thing that they share is me.
Yeah, well, designers,
of course. But, like, TC's on a board to help me with the design decisions. Chris is on a board to help me with publisher decisions. But I also run stuff by other publishers, like, you know, Patrick and Michael Coe and stuff like that. So it's not just Dice Hate Me. So people are always like, oh, so is Unpub and Dice Hate Me going to be there? I'm like, well, which one do you want? Because it depends.
Exactly. And so, but that's the thing. I think it's just because Chris has been, like, extremely supportive.
He's at every event because he enjoys being there.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily that he's, like, there to pick up things. Like, other designers have signed with other publishers right under his nose, right? And he's totally fine with that. And in fact, this whole industry is about working together. And he passed on a prototype just at Unpub 4 to someone he knew that would be more interested in it.
Yep.
I mean, that's what we do all the time. Stronghold Games gives games to Eagle Griffin half the time. Like, Mike Fitzgerald, we were talking to Mike Fitzgerald, who was really cool, by the way.
Really, really cool.
Yeah, Mike Fitzgerald's really cool. He stopped by and he was like, can I play Viva Java Dice? Can you demo it? And, like, played a full game of Viva Java Dice with Mike Fitzgerald. And, like, I was hanging out with David Cott. He did Lagoon, right? And he's Unpub tested.
Yes, he is.
So we were all, like, just hanging out. And I was hoping that, like, maybe Mike Fitzgerald would come to an Unpub event, whatever. But it doesn't matter. He probably
might.
Oh, yeah, he would totally do it. It's like, I think he's totally behind it.
All I gotta do him was say, dude, February, Baltimore.
Yeah,
Lanius will be there.
Yeah.
And Mike's like, oh, well, I'll be there then. Because everyone follows Lanius.
Yeah. Everybody loves Richard Lanius.
That's right. He's fantastic.
He is fantastic. And he's a fantastic dude. And I took a selfie with him this year.
You did.
He held my Ion Award as I took a selfie.
I'm surprised you actually let that go. As much as you carried thing around. You coddled that thing.
It was really tough to give Richard Lanius my Iron Award to hold because, you know, I know he rolls a lot of dice. That might be his hands might be shaky, and I didn't want it to like get smudged.
Was it like but you can hold my Iron Award, but I have to hold your wallet in return as collateral? Like,
can I get your ID? I want to make sure that this Iron Award is returned to the proper owner.
Man.
But yeah, but that's okay. I wrap it in cellophane all the you know more. I like to keep it fresh all the time.
That's what I was saying. It's in the baby seat right now, wrapped warmer than a newborn.
Yeah, it's in the little baby carrier, wrapped tightly. You know, but anyway, so I went to do this Brewcrafters demo, right? And I think most people kind of got the impression that it was my game. I kept trying to say, like, no, this is not my... This is not a TC Petty joint. This is Ben Rossett. Who's excellent as well.
You just stop that and just say, yes, it's the sequel to Viva Java.
All right, here we go. Let's do this.
But, Ben Rossett is just a you know pseudonym you design under now.
Yeah, so, but I... But, yeah, so, yep, that's what it is. Yep, so I'm teaching Brewcrafters, but when I stepped up, I brought the Blue Noodle with me. Like, I just grabbed the Blue Noodle to bring it down for the unpub area. Now, at the time, it's Thursday night, no one's there. Like, right. It's empty, and I, like... I'm like, all right, we'll go to this table, right? So I start setting up Brewcrafters, and I put the Blue Noodle up there, and they're like, huh, yeah, hit the, someone with that if they do something wrong at the game? And I'm like, probably, but I'm putting it up for Unpub, right? So it's like the Unpub Noodle. And they're like, all right. Like, don't worry about it. In like 15 minutes, there'll be like 40 people around here. And he's like, and they're like, thinking I was joking. 15 minutes later, like, the entire place is full, like, on both sides. There's, like, all the tables are full on that side of the thing. I mean, there's, seriously, like, at least 40 people that are, like, around. There's, like, multiple games going on, all these different prototypes, and they're just, like, okay.
Yep. Wasn't Jaffe in that playtest?
Yeah, Seth. Well, no, he wasn't in that playtest, but he showed up then after that.
Oh, yeah,
He was playing some games with, Tasty Minstrel Brought or taking a look at. I mean, they're always trying to do like little prototypes, so
yeah.
I got a chance to play a few of them, which is cool. But yeah, so it's just like it's not that we draw the crowd, it's just that we're trying to give people like a place that they can always meet up to every time, and it's just something visible, and especially with like just where board gamers are, if we just congregate where everybody else is, it's like it's so much better.
Yeah, everyone follows a crowd.
Exactly.
I mean, that's it. So when they see the noodle, they're like, what is that? They're curious. They see 40 people sitting around it, and they're all playing like Xerox copies of games, you know,
yeah, exactly.
And laughing and carrying on and having a good time. I mean, you're gonna be like, what's going on here? What are you guys doing? Can I play?
Yeah, and there's people that like I would tell during the day, hey, well, I'm going to be hanging out in the Unpub area, you know, it's like, if you want to play any games that I'm working on, or if you want to play any games that other people are working on, we'll be over there, it's like a good time.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of what we do, like, and I'm wearing the Unpub button all day, right? So you hope that does that, but this brings me up to, like, another rant, right?
Yeah, rant away, all we're right. At your place, so now you can... We're safe driving from...
We're going to pull into my place right now.
We're still doing the car, so it's a car cast.
Yeah.
That's what I need to name this. The Unpub car cast.
Everything's a car cast.
I know. I'm keeping it downloaded. I like that. Because you have to download the podcast.
What?
I'm so deep.
You have to download something. You have to download everything.
Are we blocking your garage here?
We will be in a second, but actually, you know what? I'll park on that side.
All right.
That way we're good. Now, yours doesn't have my turn radius. I forgot. This is not
Scion. Mine's IQ. Larger than a golf ball.
Yeah, mine's a dragon egg, and it's really awesome. And it has a turn radius of, like, a dime.
This is about a quarter.
Probably. So, yeah, so that brings up me, like, ranting about something, because the premier track, right? Right, not, it's not that it's the name Premier Track. It's not that it's what, it's not that I can't find it in the program.
And the point of this isn't to bitch about the premiere crew.
No, no, because, I mean, I don't know who's running it, and they may be, like, really cool people, right? And they might really be, wait, Unpub was wanting to do this? They don't, and they have no clue, right? I didn't try to get in touch with anybody from Premiere Track. I didn't do any of that groundwork, but we were kind of just miffed about the whole situation to begin
with.
Right, right. So, but, I will say this, like, Unpub is not about, like, some sort of ego thing. It's not about, like, building a brand. Like, they were talking about, like, the idea of building the Premiere Track brand, right? I've never heard of Premiere Track, but that's fine. But I don't want to build a brand. I want to just have something that every designer can go to. And what I love is that people just, like, if you're willing to put the effort forth to, like, help out game designers, and that's what you want to do, it's like, I'm totally down with that. Just try, like, why not just call it Unpub? Why not just, like, say, oh, hey, you know what? I heard about Unpub. I'd love to just call it an Unpub Protozone. That way, we can put everything on the same place so that all game designers know, hey, you should, if you like board game design, you should check out these forums, and you should check out unpub.net so that you can see all these different things, because we have the infrastructure there. What I keep seeing is that, like, there's competing organizations that are all about, like, are we better bigger than the last? And it's just like, don't worry about that stuff. Like, the reason why you shouldn't, in this case, like, there's reasons for competition, right? Yeah. If there's, like, a deficiency that needs to be fixed. But there's also reasons to have something there. I mean, Unpub's free. Yep. It's good. And it, like, does what it needs to do. And people can adjust that the way they want, because we'll give you the tools to just do your Unpub the way. But the idea is to just call it an Unpub, or, and that's why I'm for everybody solidifying to this, like, Unpub name.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
You can just call it Unpub whatever. Unpub San Jose, Unpub Protospiel, Unpub...
You just make sure Unpub is always first.
Yeah, just put Unpub on it. The reason... I know. Just make sure Unpub is first and big. The reason I say that is just... It's something about reaching out to everybody, and if people know that there is, if this organization is about playtesting and design and getting people to hang around and about this, like, community, right, then we can build that community by being solidified under one kind of banner. But, like, I hate how, like, there will be people who start up a new group, like, guaranteed, like... Unpub is not the only group.
Oh, no.
Protospiel is out there, and, yep. I respect those guys. They've been doing it for years, and it's awesome.
Yep.
Right? And like...
That's what inspired Unpub to start.
Yeah, exactly. That's what inspired
Unpub. And it's nothing that they did wrong. It's like, well, that's in Midwest. We need something East Coast. Unpub.
Yeah, exactly. Unpub has grown, though, and Unpub has a better infrastructure now than ever, right?
We're coming to get you, Protospiel.
No, but I would love to, like, you know, it's like, they did Unpub Protospiel in San Jose this year.
And it went very well.
It went really awesome. And but the thing is, for me, it's like, it's just, the difference between the two events are kind of minimal. I mean, yeah. Unpub's a little bit more about gaining playtesters than it is about designing with other designers.
Correct.
Right? Which was the original Protospiel concept.
Yep. Which is a great concept, still.
Oh, it is, yeah. And... Like, the thing I think about is just, like, I just want one day where it's, like, Unpub Protospiel, or Unpub's Protospiel South, or Unpub's Protospiel West, so that we can just do that, like, that whole, like, solidifying. So if you want to be, like, Geekstar Cons, like, Geekstar Alley, right, you know? I'm just giving something out. But just be, like, the Unpub Geekstar, or Geekstar Unpub, right? That way, you can be up on the website, you can do all those things, and then you can just use that as a starting point for everybody. We have all the information up there, we know how to do these events, and we can give you the packet of information, anything that you need, signing up for, like, mailing lists, and get designers to sign up on the website and set up these events. It's just really annoying that there's other places that do that, but they don't do any of those things.
Yeah.
And they don't have the infrastructure to do that. We have it all set up. Just use it. Just say,
especially,
hey, we'd like to just do an Unpub at our con. And we'll give you the information. Well, it's like, we can't send Daryl out to everything, but, like, no. We can send Daryl out to almost everything.
Almost everything. Oh, man, my wife would hate it. But yeah, absolutely. No, it was just my thing was, you know, we offered to be there. We offered to even run it. Like, we were volunteering our services. If we expect anything in return, like, give us a badge or two. Yeah, so, you know, we don't have to pay badges to also run it. Yeah,
I don't even care. I mean, that's
at the absolute most you have to give us.
Yeah.
And it's just, and you know, we're there. I mean, I wanted to do it, and Mike wanted to do it. And it just kind of upset me, and it soured me, because I've always been a fan of Origins. I've been there since, I forget what year the 25th anniversary was, but that's the first year I went to Origins. That was years ago. And I just kind of... kind of make me a little sad. But anywho, all that aside,
yeah.
Origins was still fun. Origins was a blast.
Was great, yeah.
One of the better ones I've had in recent years. But, so, what's one game highlight that you had from Origins?
Well, I got to play, Dead Drop from Jason Gutarski.
You did play Dead Drop?
Yep.
Nice. How was it? I haven't yet to play it.
I'm really into, like, the little deduction games, so I mean, it's 13 cards, mm-hmm. and you're just trying to figure out which card is missing, right? But it's got an interesting mechanic where you can share information with other players in order to get get information from them, right?
But you don't know if they're lying or not.
Well, that's the thing. No, you show them openly what it is, and then they have to. With these games, it's kind of like they have to play along. Like, if they were, like, lying, it would ruin the experience, okay. A little bit. But if you're going to play a small game like this, it'd be stupid not to. So the idea is, like, you can... there's a set of zeros, ones, twos, threes, and fours, and five, right? And you know the distribution because it's on the card in front of you, right? And you can check that card anytime to just see what might be missing. And so you keep in your head how many cards you've seen... there's some face up in the middle, and then some cards that you trade with other players. And as the game goes on, you start revealing more information to try to get information out of other people. Nice. And then you can just... if you want to figure out what the number is, you can't just know what the number is. You have to have the sum of the number with your two cards in your hand.
Okay.
So if the number's 2, and you know it's a 2, you're going to have to figure out a way to get 2 ones or a 2 and a 0 in your hand, and then play it, and then check it secretly, and if it's right, then you win. If it's wrong, then everybody keeps going. So you could just guess, but you'd be out immediately, and your cards are face up, and then, like, the next person would go, and, you know, so, like, you want to get it right, and you want to see you get the points, and then you can win a few different rounds of playing it. It's just, I don't know, it's that summing idea, and being able to show other people cards to see what sums in their hand. Mm-hmm. Like, that just gives you a lot of information, and I really like those types of games. I love the deduction, so.
All right, and what about any published games? What was one that was, like, a surprise hit or a sleeper that you may have... You don't have to go into a description. No,
I didn't really play too many.
Okay, that's fine.
But we played that Doodle game.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Doodle Quest.
It's kiddie.
You also played Blueprints.
Yeah.
Okay, Doodle Quest.
yeah, so, but Doodle Quest was fun just because it's a party game.
Yeah.
They need more sheets, honestly. Yeah, There's only four players.
That can go up to 12
each. Yeah, you could make a lot of players. But the idea is you're just kind of like, you all have dry erase markers, and you're writing on transparent paper and trying from afar to circle, like, say there was, like, scuba divers. You try to circle them without touching the sharks.
Or crossing over the scuba divers.
Yeah, or crossing over. So you try to do a perfect circle around 5 different scuba divers without touching the sharks. And this is like a painted image,
yep.
Like in a square.
Yep.
So in your square that's out away from the painted image that has like a little transparency paper,
yep.
You draw the circles. And then once everybody's done, you take the picture and slide it underneath the transparency and line up the lines. And if you have circles around all the divers, you get points and, like, stuff. Yep. And you're trying to get the most points to win. And, yeah,
That was cute.
It's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
And it worked really well. It's just... they didn't really... I don't think they really play-tested all of it. They're just like, put 13
triangles in this giant shark's mouth.
Yeah, shark's mouth. And you're like, okay, if I really wanted to do this, and which...
Somebody did.
Somebody, Tiffany did. you're supposed to put 13 triangles, like, for the teeth, and you could just make them as tiny as possible. Yeah. And it's just, it doesn't even look like a mouth. So I tried to, like, do the outside line, and I completely failed miserably, and it just, like, but I have more fun trying to do it that way. But that's the kind of stuff that,
her triangles made it look like the shark swallowed Totoro.
That's the kind of stuff that Unpub helps with.
Yeah.
Because most people would be like, you know what, that one,
this wording needs to be clearer.
That's the baby one. That one's for babies.
Yeah.
That's the baby version. You should probably do a different one.
I was hoping for bonus points, because, like, when I did the sharks one, like, I drew the teeth, I shaded them, I put a little stick figure scuba diver in the mouth, and all of it was within the lines that it needed to be. I was like, boom!
Yeah, that was pretty good. I just went, like, I tried to do it as close to the edge as I could, and it just failed miserably.
Yep.
But, yeah, so fun game. A little bit flawed, but still fun. Cool. But I didn't get to play any of the meaty games that I wanted to play. I really wanted to play Lewis and Clark, but I didn't get to.
Yeah, same here. Cool. Well, being we're sitting in your driveway, I'll wrap this up by saying, where can people see you next, TC? Where's your next con, and what's newly released by you?
What's newly released? Viva Java, the coffee game, the dice game.
You didn't see any colons in there.
The pauses were colons.
Oh, okay.
There's two colons in the title. That is now going to be available at the beginning of July for street sale. Kickstarter backers should either have all received them or are really close to receiving them, at least in the Americas, and hopefully they're getting out to international backers here then shortly. I don't know how long it takes in the mail. A lot of times it's just forever. But you'll get
if the international backers want it faster. They can send myself a copy of Ticket to Ride 10th Anniversary, and I'll send one out post-haste.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Viva Java Dice, pick it up at a store near you very shortly, and it'll be available for probably in all kinds of comic book stores, and tell them you want it so that they put it in stock. Even if they put, like, two or three, it looks pretty. And it all looks like coasters, so, yeah, it's a cool game. But then, as far as conventions, I'll be at, for sure, World Board Gaming Championships pretty much the whole week. So if you want to playtest some games or just hang out, I mean, we're not going to really have an Unpub presence. That's not really... I could talk to World Board Gaming Championships about maybe next year doing an Unpub thing there, but it's not really the place for it. It's like open gaming is later on at night, and most people are doing tournaments and everything for that. I spend most of my time in open gaming, but really, sometimes I get prototypes in, but it's just
plus kinda... it's so close to Gen Con that it's just...
Yeah, so I don't know, but I'll be around, so there will be an Unpub representative there, so if you want to play some prototypes, I'll be there to play, and I'll have some of mine, too.
Cool. And I just want to plug one quick thing, that July 7th, 2014, you didn't repeat the year back.
I thought 2014.
There you go. Unpub's going to launch the Kickstarter campaign for Unpub 5.
Unpub 5.
Unpub 5.
Unpub 5.
Unpub 5.
Not Sunday, Monday.
Yep.
It'll be Monday. I think
that is a Monday. Yeah, July 7th is a Monday.
So you'll get back from your 4-day weekend or 3-day weekend. Yeah, 3-day weekend, and you'll see a little notification pop up that Unpub has launched a Kickstarter on July 7th, and you'll be able to back it.
Yep, and it'll be for pre-sale tickets more or less for designer tables.
Yep.
Some special VIP stuff.
Very important playtesters.
That's right.
Because normally playtesters are free, and they'll still be free for Unpub 5.
Yes.
So this is just, you get to, as a very important playtester, you'll get a chance to hang out with the designers on the designer day.
Which is Friday, the 7th, February 7th, 2015.
Yep, for the designer dinner.
You can rub shoulders with Lanius.
Yeah, Lanius will be there.
So, But they'll also be... All right.
Door's opening. Don't worry.
You'll also be able to get some Unpub swag, like some t-shirts and stuff like that people have been asking for. So all sorts of things to raise money for Unpub 5 and also kind of fund Unpub for the year. to kind of get everything set. So we have everything locked down.
Yep.
But yeah, that's it. So, DC, thanks for riding with me and driving with me to and from Origins and sharing a bed with me and, yeah, you know, being buddies like we always are.
We always do this.
Yeah.
That's what, sleeping in the same bed is what Unpub is all about.
That is. 1 year we'll have to put the noodle in.
Yep.
Sometimes the blue noodle in the, oh my god.
Sometimes Unpub is about too much love. So so thanks everybody for listening to Unpub Unfiltered.
Undownloaded, unfiltered.
And
Carcast.
I'm sure you can catch Daryl soon doing another one of these.
Yeah, we'll be next time. TC and I will also be on the very next episode of State of Games, as usual, and we'll be going over Origins a little bit more in depth with Chris and Stephanie Straw. So yeah. You guys will listen to us then.
That'll work.
See ya.
See ya.